Welcome to Tea
with Mrs. S, a podcast about relationships, life, and everything around us.
Hello, good morning.
Bonjour. But did you watch the opening ceremony, though?
Just snippets of it.
Are you into the Olympics?
Anyway? Not.
Oh, you're not. Okay.
Not really. I watched the opening ceremony on, I don't have cable, so I could only watch what they show on television. So I was able to catch it. And then some of it was on YouTube as well.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I saw the drone. I saw Angela Kijo.
Man, that drone was something else.
It was Japan. Oh,
that's why I said it. I was like, look, please don't cancel because I need to see your feces. And they brought it. Those drones were
very
nice.
They did a very good job.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of sad, though, because you can imagine how much more impactful the effect would have been if there were tons and tons of people there.
Just
that energy and vibrance and everything. But c'est la vie.
It's the world we're living in right now, and people are still saying, no thanks, I don't want vaccine. You know, I mean, it's crazy. I'm not going to knock anyone for not wanting to infect their body with something that they feel isn't 100% tried and tested, especially if they feel, look, you're guinea pigging me because nobody has approved this thing. But I think it's just foolhardy to just close your eyes to what's happening all around you.
I'm the same. I feel the same as you do. Like, I don't understand, but I respect their decision. And I guess for me, it's at the point where I'm like, well, you're making a choice. And your choice is really saying, well, if I catch COVID, then that's fine. If I die, I die. If I live, I live. So that's the choice they're making. I don't respect everybody's ability to make that choice.
I actually don't respect it. I respect it if you're saying, you know, fine, I'm not taking the vaccine, but I'm going to mask up and I'm going to wash my hands. I'm going to 6 feet, 8 feet social distance the hell out of my life. If that's what they're saying, yeah, okay, I can rock with you. But if they're saying, excuse me, you know, I will live my life because it's my life, and they go out not adhering to the social distancing rules, not masking up, not doing any of those things, I don't respect that. I think that's ridiculous.
I respect that. The only challenge I have with that is that when you make that decision, is that portion where if they catch it, they can spread it to somebody else who may not want it and did not make the choice.
That's the whole point. That's what I'm saying.
Especially nowadays, the children, because now this second, maybe third, maybe Delta, whatever variant is more impactful to children. So that's the other.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. So that's what I'm saying. I don't respect. If you're saying, listen, I'm not taking this vaccine, but guess what? I'm going to mask up and I'm going to social distance. I'm only going to go out when I need to go out and stuff like that. Then I can say, okay, I hear you, because what you're saying is I just don't want to put this vaccine in my body. That's all you're saying.
But you're also being responsible.
Exactly.
About how you're dealing with your interactions. Right.
But if you're saying, damn the vaccine and damn everybody, I'm going to just be out there doing what I want to do, coughing in everybody's face, taking their own cough back into my body, spreading this mess around, then I have no business with you. You know?
When I say I respect their choice, it means I don't want to say, it's not like I respect them, but I respect their choice.
Respect their choice. I don't respect their choice. What type of life is that? How can you choose? And again, we're going back to, remember the first time we had this gist about this whole pandemic thing. The reason that they're doing it is because it's for lack of a better way of putting it, it's sexy. You know what I mean? If it was Ebola, if Ebola was here, people will be,
they won't be begging
up.
They won't beg them.
Nobody's begging you for vaccine. They will line up. Please, you say it's not FDA approved. It's okay. Just give me.
Yeah, people because will be lined when you up. See blood coming out of your eyes,
your nose, your mouth, every orifice, then you would, you know. But because this one, what is it? As you sneeze, and that's how they think it is. That they think it's just that because they haven't been to the hospital to see somebody being intubated. They haven't seen what it looks like.
There's a guy who came out from the hospital, and he was like, yeah, I'm not taking the vaccine. And even if I had to go back in time, I still wouldn't take the vaccine. Some people are gung-ho, adamant about the fact that they're not going to take the vaccine, period. No matter what.
I mean, listen, I was going to hold out as long as I could until the announcement of the vaccines being FDA approved came out. I'm not an anti-vaxxer. At the end of the day, I was still going to get the vaccine because I've received so many other vaccines before. I had to be vaccinated out of this world before coming to this country. So that's not my issue. My issue is not. And you know what? That's another, now that we're back to this topic. It's also funny because when you talk to your friends who have received all vaccines in the world, you know what I mean? Who are like, no, I don't want that. I'm not taking this vaccine. I'm like, I don't understand. What's the difference? So again, it just goes back to the fact that these people do not understand the severity of this virus. They don't understand that this mess is no joke. And they don't, and that's it. You know, it's crazy.
I've listened to several pundits talk about it. I've listened to several shows. And unfortunately, there's going to be a portion of the population who are never going to take the vaccine, period. The challenge was getting as high a number as possible of people who will actually take it so that you can protect everybody else. So I think they said 70% or 80% was the sweet spot. Mm-hmm. But so they're hoping that they're going to try other avenues and trying to see if they can get people that people trust to go out to them to tell them it's okay and it's safe, or just find someone that they can relate to or that they trust so that they can take the vaccine.
Yeah.
Some guy brought up a point and he was like, in the UK, he was also talking about some of the deficiencies in the healthcare system in America, because at least in the UK, most everybody has a GP and most everybody has developed some sort of relationship with their GP. So when their GP says, yeah, you can take it, they have some sort of, you know, okay, my GP says I can take it. But here you have so many people who've probably never even been to the hospital. I was listening to some guy. He's like, I've never been to the hospital in my life. I'm healthy. Not taking any vaccine, da 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 da. So,
well, no, but not even that. There, even some people who have been to see their doctors, there are some doctors who are saying, no, don't take it. I have this cocktail for you to take. Don't take those vaccines. And then they're spreading all kinds of different things about what these, especially the, what's this, the RNA?
I thought the thing, doctors took
what they first
do no harm.
Yeah, but if they don't think they're doing harm, what does that oath matter? In their minds, they are saying it's more harm to take the vaccine than to take my little cocktail here that I have ready for you to take and to ward off anything. There are a number of doctors who are doing that as well. I mean, on the news the other day, I saw a doctor who was, they chased her down. You know how these local news stations chase people down? And she was like, just leave me alone or whatever. But she was telling her clients, her patients, don't take the vaccine. So, you know, it's just, I mean, what about the hospital, the bunch of people was somewhere in Houston who are like, no, you can't force us to take the vaccine, to the point they went to court and you know, because they were saying they're fired or whatever. Yeah,
I don't know. Fired.
What is wrong with you? What type of responsibility? Oh, look at Eric Clapton. I was like, your one song is what's making you be bold. He's saying that, imagine this guy. He's saying he's not going to have any concert. He reserves the right to cancel his concerts if he feels anyone is being, what's the word? If people are forced to show proof of either a negative test or being vaccinated.
And he should stay at home now.
I was like, look at this guy.
Is he Beyonce?
I was like, your one song?
Is he Kanye?
I was like, your one song. I was like, you're such a clown. I mean, do you see what's going on? And he actually made a song about the whole masking up thing or whatever. I was like, oh my God, these people are crazy. So I don't know how they're going to do it, but with this Delta now, look, they've reached up to Lambda as far as variants are concerned. You know, they've reached up to Lambda, but right now Delta is the one that is like is being the alpha. Delta is the one that is being the boss right now. All the variants.
Delta is the alpha variant.
Mm-hmm. Delta is the one that is showing everybody what's up. So I mean, I don't know, but it's bananas, and I'm ready for this thing to just die down, just to be over and done with. But every day you hear,
I don't see any clarity until the end of the year. And what is more disturbing is, because we're such a global society, unless it gets to a point where the West is going to lock out the less developed countries, I don't see how it's going to
work. Well, the less developed countries are not the ones that are even creating the problem, so to speak.
That's not what I'm saying.
Australia has been on lockdown for so long. Like, you can't come in, you can't leave Australia.
And that's the point I'm trying to make. I'm trying to say that when the West gets the virus under control in their own environments, they will be hard-pressed, I'm thinking, to let people from other countries who they know have less proliferation of the vaccine come into their own space, because they're like, okay, fine, we've managed to get this thing under control. You know that it jumps from person to person and then it mutates and then it gets kind of all funky. So why would they let people when they're not sure?
I mean, it doesn't matter. The Australia, for instance, what is wrong with your people? You know, they haven't, I think it was Australia, who was it? Anyway, about the vaccine. You know, different countries, because I know my friend who lives in Dubai, I can't remember the name of the vaccine she took. They have a completely different vaccine over there that they're taking. But every country or every other big country or whatever, they have their own specific vaccine. It's not just this Pfizer, AstraZeneca, J&J, and Moderna. That's the, you know, that's
I
out
think
there.
Like every six country, or seven.
Probably more than that. That because the one she took.
Yeah, but it doesn't even matter if we've heard about it, but I think the WHO has approved vaccines that are being taken in certain other countries. As long as it has been approved by the WHO, that's fine. But what's even funny is the issue going on in the EU, even with the AstraZeneca. So most of the developing countries are part of, as you know, this program called COVAX or NOVAX, where they're being given vaccines from the wealthier countries. They're contributing and distributing those vaccines to them. So they're getting AstraZeneca, but they're getting the AstraZeneca that is made in India. Now, for whatever reason, the EU is like, by the way, India has not given us all the information we need to approve the AstraZeneca that is being produced in India.
Isn't that crazy that India is producing vaccine and yet they don't have
Let me finish my story now. We have not been able to approve the vaccines that are being made in India yet. They've not given us some information that we require. So guess what? We're going to still be banning people who have taken AstraZeneca that was made in India, because that's not on our approved list. And WHO is like, what are you talking about? We've approved it, you know? So now they're still banning people who are from, I guess, the African countries at this point, or the Asian countries, or any country that is taking AstraZeneca that was made in India.
So where else are they making AstraZeneca?
In the UK. AstraZeneca is a...
So it doesn't matter whether it's UK or India. AstraZeneca as a whole, for a lot of European countries, they had put a halt on administering that because of the whole blood clotting issue that was going on with a certain group of people, to where a number of people had died. So I don't even understand that one.
People dying from the vaccine that's independent of the efficacy of the vaccine, right? So even if they're not taken, my point is the vaccine has been approved. They've approved AstraZeneca if it is not manufactured, if it's manufactured in the UK or manufactured in whatever other factory or environment that AstraZeneca is being manufactured.
But they're saying if it's manufactured in India, we have not approved it yet. So if that's the one you've taken, just do a break, stay where you are.
But the India itself that is producing AstraZeneca, how is it that they don't have enough vaccines for themselves?
They're not going to steal the vaccines now. It's not by contract.
How are you stealing it?
So you can.
So let me ask you. Hold on. Let me ask you a question.
And if that batch,
let me ask you a question.
Okay.
The vaccine in that is produced in the UK is for distribution where?
I don't know. That's a good question. I'm not sure. I don't have those details.
So because I'm thinking already, whether it's what do you call it, logistics or whatever, they've said, all right, we're producing AstraZeneca in UK. This one will go around Europe, right? You guys in India, where is that one coming from? Is that like backup in case UK does not produce enough? Or what? Because I it makes no sense to me. India is number two as far as population after China. China, they already have their own vaccine that they're using over there. So if India is producing AstraZeneca there, they should not have a shortage. Whether contract or no contract, because where the ones that are being produced in the UK, where are they going? We don't do AstraZeneca here in America. We have Johnson & Johnson, we have Pfizer, we have Moderna. So
I can't say for sure that AstraZeneca is not being produced here. It may not be sold here. It doesn't mean that it's not being manufactured.
No,
here.
See, that's, I'm not even talking about that exactly. So you're even adding to my point. If they're producing AstraZeneca here again, what is where are the ones being produced in India going? What sense does it make
they
to not have enough
that they
of
do the distribution?
In
now imagine, remember that even Australia doesn't have enough because they didn't place their order on time.
They didn't place order, but enough. Yes, are they producing any vaccines?
I don't know.
Right. So I'm talking about countries that are producing vaccines. And if we're saying that AstraZeneca is produced, you've added the US angle. So if they're saying AstraZeneca is being produced in the US, in the UK, and in India, what sense does it make that a country that is producing the vaccine does not have enough? Who writes that stupid contract? Why would I write a contract and tell you I'll produce this vaccine, yet my people in my country won't collect? What sense does that make? So that's just ridiculous to me. To me, if you're producing a vaccine in the country, you have to first see about your people. We'll produce it for cheap because I'm guessing that's why it's there, cheap labor. We'll produce this. But hey, listen, we also have issues here. Actually, we're number two population. We need to make sure our people here are vaccinated. Before we now start saying where we're going to be shipping this one to. So I think that's bananas anyway. But the whole thing is crazy. We're dealing with Delta. That before you say Jack Robinson, we'll reach Omega.
It's possible, my dear. I'm not even holding my breath. I'm just watching and praying.
Anyway, in other news, so yeah, that article you sent me about the Alabama city leader. You know, I had already posted, that's so funny, because I remember we were talking about it. I'd seen the article, and I was like, I can't believe this. Because every time I see these outright, outrageous, bloody racist things, I post it, and I'm like, this is 2021. You know what I mean? I'm like, we can't be seeing this. Look at the Olympics. You know, if you've heard of Naomi Osaka's story, or any, multiracial person in any Asian country, they will tell you what they suffer on a daily basis. And in this Olympics, the person who was holding the Japanese flag was, I mean, he looked black to me, but obviously I think he's also, multiracial. And then the person who lit Naomi lit it. I've forgotten what it's called. The torch, the main, who lit the, what is that thing called? The cauldron of fire for the Olympics. It was Naomi Osaka who did it. So 2021, we're seeing a lot of people are now are understanding, look, there's not just only one white, there's not just only Asian, there are a multitude of races and we're all the same. People are coming round to it. But here in the United States of America, in Alabama, this guy is going to be bold enough. And he's sitting next to a black woman. She didn't reach over and slap his dirty face. You know,
they'll arrest her for assault.
How will they arrest her? There is a federal law against things like that, what he's saying. No one should come with the free speech angle. There's no such free speech. That is hate speech. There's a federal law against that sort of thing.
If you listen to him, he did so, which was why I was like, this guy is just funny. He says, look, I'm not the one that came up with the word. I want you guys to know what the mayor is saying behind closed doors. This is the way he refers to this woman. So I want to bring it out to the light. That's what he said. That's why he was so unrepentant. If you watched him talk after that, he was like, no, I'm not changing anything. I said what I said.
I don't understand what you're saying, because I didn't even really delve into, I didn't even want to watch the video, because I would have just seen myself throwing my phone at the wall and smashing it. So you're saying that he didn't actually say the word. He was reenacting what somebody else said.
According to him, he was using the words that had been used to him by another black mayor, by the way, by another black person. I'm not sure if it was the mayor. I think it was the mayor, but by another black person. And he says, I want everybody to understand the kind of person that this individual is.
So it's a black person is using the word. So he's trying, so he's giving himself hell to the canal. There's nothing I won't see. So he thinks it's okay for him to use it since the black person is using it.
I don't know if he felt it was okay, but he felt, this is the way that this guy is referring to you, and I want you to know. Period. So I'm going to use the exact same words that he used. He didn't even try to bleep it out. Like how?
That's what I'm saying. If you said something offensive that I think it's offensive, and I'm trying to relay what you said, so I'm going to use some kind of pseudonym or euphemism or whatever in place of what you said. You see what I'm saying? Because I know what you said is not cute. So he's saying it, and he's saying he doesn't care. In fact, let me even double down. I'm running for, what do you say he's running for? The position running or whatever.
For some position. And I was like, for me, or people were like, oh, he has to resign. The reason I can understand people asking for his resignation, but they're like, yeah, no, he can't run. Why would he feel? I'm like, let him run so that you know your constituency. Because if after everything he has done, he runs and he wins, shouldn't that tell you something?
So we didn't just finish dealing 4 years with someone who said nasty things before, after, during, and they still won. We don't want that. We already know. You see, this is not the issue. You know how it is? They said the first step is admitting you have a problem. We already know there's a problem. We don't want. Okay? We need to root them out. That's what we need to do. Get out. We are not dealing with you. Leave. You go. Not run. We don't want to. You see, that's the thing. Because if he's running, we're saying yes. You know, we're what's the word? Entertaining that behavior. Allowing it to fester. Allowing it to grow. Look at the difference between this other one that just left and this guy right now, the president. When Saki is out there talking, Jen, or what is it, Saki, whatever her name is, finishes talking. There is no, you don't see all over the news about wow, 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 you know, and she has not resigned yet. With the other guy, within how many, this thing, one person has already gone. There's a new person or whatever. It's not fraught with just angst, you know, it's life is going on. Of course, there's still things that are happening around there, but it's not from this office. You know what I mean? When it's not every day headache. Not to say that they're doing everything they're doing is 100%.
No, of course not.
But we don't have to deal with the extra try. It's that I wish people will understand what we're trying to say. We can live in a civilized society. We can interact with people we don't particularly agree with without being nasty and disgusting. So anyway, I mean, look at Biden. Any 2 seconds, you know, he's an older man, and you can see he's very impatient sometimes when he talks. This is his retorts are very look. You know, but never to the level of let me insult this person, let me do this.
Yeah, I think that's just not in his character too. You know, you are who you are. It's not in his character. So he's a different kettle of fish. He can be firm, you're right, and he can be harsh, and you don't get to run for presidency without having an ego. So he has to be that as well. But he knows how to manage himself in a nutshell.
Yeah. So this is like 100% left I'm getting into. So you have to forgive. So this woman wrote to The Guardian. She said, my sexual partner is too big for me. What can I do?
Oh, wow.
Yee. I am a 66-year-old woman, 11 years out of a 30-year marriage. So she was married for 30 years and she's been divorced for 11. My husband left to live with the woman he had been having an affair with, but the marriage hadn't been right for some years and our sexual activity had diminished drastically. I have a male friend who is the same age as me and we are friends with benefits, only the benefits don't work. He can't penetrate me. Either I have shrunk or he is just a big lad. After 30 years of monogamy, I'm not exactly au fait with penis sizes. It makes me feel sad and inadequate. We pleasure each other in other ways, but it would appear penetration is off the table. Before I consult a doctor, what am I doing wrong?
What does she mean before she consults a doctor? That should be her first step.
Okay, keep going. Let's hear what you, your
no,
thoughts.
No, I'm just saying, I think that should
no, no, and I'm saying step. Continue.
Why is she writing to The Guardian? What's she expecting from them?
You what go to a doctor before? If something is wrong. Leave their reply. I'm not
no,
interested
no,
in...
To hear their
no,
reply
but me, before. I want to hear your thoughts. That's what
no,
I
no,
brought
I
it up.
I have no thoughts. I just had a question.
Why don't you have thoughts? We're getting older every day.
I just had a question now. I'll ask you my question. Why did she not go to the doctor first?
She has told you. She said before she goes to the doctor, what's wrong with her? And I'm asking you, from what you've heard, what do you think the issue could be?
I don't know.
Oh, because that's your answer. Your answer is you don't know.
I don't know.
Nothing like that now. Moving on, let's have another topic.
What do you mean by that? What
I mean, since you're choosing not to leave the Guardian out of it. I'm not interested in what the Guardian has to say.
Wait a second. I'm being honest in my response. So you can't just cut it off. I'm saying I don't know.
You're the one who's cutting off. What don't you know? So you've never had sex with anybody who has a ginormous gargantuan size.
I've never had a problem.
Peninsula.
No, I haven't.
Okay. So I think so. Now let's get into it since you're saying you haven't. You are not doing anything wrong. This is what The Guardian says. In fact, it is wonderful that you understand the erotic value of non-penetrative sex. Some men with atypically large penises struggle to find women who can accommodate them. But it is not certain that your friend falls into this category. We don't know. Maybe his thing's not as big as she thinks it is. After a long period of abstinence and most likely hormonal diminution. English. Some women do experience some vaginal atrophy that restricts penetration with a penis of any size. So it doesn't matter what size the penis is. If you haven't had sex in a while, your vagina says, if you're not using me, please let me manage my life. Consider experimenting with gentle self-penetration once you're aroused through masturbation. Use lubrication. This may help you understand your current genital physiology. But most likely, if you want to receive penetration comfortably again, it would be wise to consult a sexual medicine professional who may be able to help. Typical treatments include hormone therapy, sex therapy, and vaginal dilation. That's what The Guardian says. So basically,
that you have had ginormous.
I never said that.
Well, that's
I never said that. I didn't even imply it because I was asking you a question. There was no implication.
Whatever.
No implication. Whatever. I never said that. But I have. I don't necessarily, let's be honest with you, I'm not one of those, you know how you watch TV shows and all these things and they're like, oh man, if he's not this size, he shouldn't even come. I'm not interested in that. If I see any big obolobo, I'll just say, please zip up. If it's not me, you're going to destroy. You shall not destroy me.
I honestly, just even thinking about it. Well, I mean, like I said, I don't know, but I've listened to The Guardian, I guess, you know, maybe age, disuse or whatever. But I mean, the vagina is built to expand and retract.
Oh.
That's where people
come out of a whole 10 pound coming out of it.
So it's kind of interesting what she's saying. I don't know.
But haven't you seen those you better get on, anyway, you don't need to be on Facebook because I'm sure people forward these things to you or you and just watch. But haven't you seen those people who are having sex and when it's time to remove, you cannot come out, the vagina has locked the penis in there?
Nope.
Oh, you've never seen? See, I need you to get on Facebook. Because every other day you see this. You know, they're having sex and then now the guy wants to dislodge, but the vagina says, sorry, you're going to remain here until so the vagina locks holds that penis in. He cannot come out. So it's science is amazing, you know.
Can't even pretend to understand the mechanics behind that, but
okay. Mm-hmm. It's like lockjaw for the vajayjay. lock vag. Vag lock.
No comments.
So yeah. So basically the woman, that's why they say it. Everything is a muscle, right? Use it or lose it. So Guardian is telling the lady, Auntie, why did you not have sex all this time? You should have been doing something now so that your guys, whatever, will manage. But it's not every time sex is. Continue this thing you people are doing and enjoy your life. It's not every time you do penetration. But
I'm just going to let you run with all of that. Because, like, okay. Anyone where you talk is fine.
Didn't you see the Guardian was telling her it's good that you're experimenting in other ways. Not every time penetration. It is to know that these are the perils of age, you know what I mean? And especially if you're single, you know, I don't know that it has anything to do with singles. You could be married.
That's why I was just looking at you.
It's the perils with
plenty of single people are sexually active.
Yeah, the perils of aging and not continuously being sexually active or whatever. That's interesting when I saw it.
Your body to the fullest. I think it applies to everything, really.
Everything, right?
Like if you don't exercise, if you don't move, your muscles will atrophy, you know.
Exactly.
So
yeah, so wahala. You know, this is when I read it, I was like,
like one more thing to keep up with.
Yeah. You know, to think that it is really necessary for you to have regular sex. It really is. You know, you can say I'm too busy, I'm not in the mood for it. But one day you'll be in the mood. And then that day you cannot do anything because your vagina is saying, Auntie, you left me all this time. Oh yeah, I found me today. Sorry, I'm not working. You know, that sort of thing. I'm not on seat. that would be something else. So I'm happy I came across that article because I'm going to be like, there's no day I'll be tired.
You won't have a headache.
I don't have a headache. I'm not tired. It's okay. Let's do. It's good. Hey, oh, yeah, be Cubana. But I saw that link you sent me, and then I clicked on it and attempted to read, and I was like, I'm done. I can't go through this.
It was too much, right?
This, I was like, you're doing too much.
It's all right.
I said, when I talk to you, I'll ask for the Cliff Notes version.
I can't even remember. I started watching the video you sent about the lady who decided to show her husband a thing or two about his cheating ways. I don't know who she showed, whether it was him or the girlfriend. I cracked up and she was like, no, they said they've been enjoying with me. Let them clean.
She said, let her show every. She said, let her, let everybody be involved in this in this manner of. I mean, she's.
Maybe
I
don't, we should lead with the actual story, right?
Right, we should. Even though I wanted to talk about Wikibana, but let the story is more. It's actually quite funny. This lady called. I think it's a podcast. I think they're a podcast, a Nigerian podcast.
Are they a podcast? I thought they were like a radio station.
But actually, I think they're a podcast. I don't know. Either way. But she called in. I don't know what the subject was about. But she called in to tell the people what she had been suffering. She said her husband is in his early 40s. She's in her early 30s or something like that. They've been married for a while. She does not want for anything. He provides for her all of that. But that his eye is just kuru kuru. He must go outside the marriage. He has multiple girlfriends and she's aware, and she has told him so many times, one day you will see the one that you don't want to see, you know, relax. And he figured she was on to him, so he took his correspondence with all his side babes from his mobile to his email. And one fine day he had some mini stroke or something like that. He had to be taken to the hospital. He was just out of shape, and she had access to his phone and everything. She opened up the phone or the email or something, and here's correspondence from all manner of different girls. There was one that just unrelenting, she kept sending, and she, you know, so she was like, okay, I'm going to respond to this girl. And she told that one, I think she said she's, oh, I'm traveling. So she responded as him, he's traveling or something like that. That and then that one responded, okay, buy me this. What was the one's name? Boss client or something like that. So he has a way of saving their names in his phones and things like that. Anyway, this guy was out, he was in really, really bad shape. She kept up correspondence with all his side chicks, letting them know that he was out of town. She went home, gave her chef or whatever some vacation time. She put up cameras in the house because it was time to bring the guy home. And then she set up appointments with all the side chicks.
That's so, like, home from the hospital, right?
Yeah, home from the hospital. So, you know, when after this week, then the next one will come. So she, when they got home, you know, the guy had to be on diapers and all this. So when they got home, she sent, you know, she started the correspondence and asking each of them to come. The one of them responded saying, ah, well, what of your wife? What about your wife? So all of them know he's married. And he was like, she's in Canada. Traveled. She's gone to see the kids. She's gone to Canada and everything. And then I was like, okay, no problem. Oh my god. So they show up you know, at their allotted time. This one shows up and she locks the door and she says, okay, welcome, you see your boyfriend, you take care of him today. She said she let the guy sit in his poopy diaper the entire day so that when this girl comes, she's going to have to clean it up. You know, that after this whole thing, she played back the videotapes for the man, for him to see. Shay, you think it's fun to carry these chicks? Ordinary, clean your diaper. Look at the face this one is making. Yet you'll be spending 30,000. This one will ask for this. You buy. you know, say you see, here's my thing. I think it makes for a good movie, you know, home video, we'll watch, we'll laugh, but I think it was a little extreme. I think it was unnecessary, honestly, you know, and the sort of man he is, when he's fully recovered, he will go back to his regularly scheduled program.
For sure.
There's no doubt about it. And she's the sort of woman who is quite content with allowing her husband to do all those things because she was fully aware he was cheating on her and she didn't leave. She didn't leave because as part of her documentary that she was telling all of us, she said she doesn't want for anything. So it's not like he's cheating on her and he's neglecting her as far as not providing for her and her kids. He's doing all that. So she's content, pretty content with that. She's a little irritated, which is why she set up this whole thing, you know. And to me, I think she's just trying to chase the girls away, you know, by saying, look, the man is sick. Oh, yeah, come on, do this or whatever. But honestly, I feel like if this man is, once he's fully healed, he's just going to go back and continue doing the same thing. And she's just going to stay there. That's my thought. What do you think?
He might. And there's a high probability that he will. But there's also a little probability that he may have had an epiphany through his near-death experience. And that may keep him on the straight and narrow, so to speak. I mean, it's hard to tell sometimes with these kinds of people.
The man is, there's no straight on. He will go to his grave carrying girls outside. That's his way. And that's not going to change. This whole drama that the girl did, that's not changing anything. It's funny because This brings me to Weinstein. There's a HBO show, Mia Farrow's son. What's the guy's name again? Whatever Farrow.
Dylan.
Dylan. Is his name Dylan? Okay.
It's no, Ronan. Ronan.
Right, that one. He's done. He chased down the story for a long time. Wrote a book about it, and now there's an HBO special about this whole Weinstein thing. And there was actually a sting they did to catch this guy, some Italian model. They're saying that she was a pageant queen or whatever. By the end of the day, she ended up being like an escort or something like that because I don't know how they, some hot top politician in Italy or whatever, she had accused of molesting her, whatever they call it, or whatever. But anyway, so here she comes. She wants to be a model in America, and she meets up with Weinstein. And she said that Weinstein, you know, grabbed her boobs, and she didn't want anything like that. She ran off. She went to the police station to report him. She said when she went there, the police said, again, as if, this guy. So after they got that, they decided to do a sting. So they wrapped her up, put on a wire on her to catch him in the act. And they went to dinner or so. The guy was talking. She says, you know, you touched my breast. First of all, to get him to admit that he touched it, she said something about while she was at the police station, asked him if he liked the way her breast felt. And he said, yes. She thought that would be enough. But they were like, okay, that kind of gets us in there, saying that yes, this actually happened. So now we have to catch him in the act. So that's when they put the wire on her. They were having dinner in the hotel. There's a hotel where he hangs out or whatever. He has the penthouse there. He now said he's going upstairs, that she should come with him. I mean, if you hear the tape, come, just come. Don't let us end our friendship for this thing, just for this little thing. You know, the girl says, I don't want to. He was like, come on, you know. I mean, the sort of things that he was saying, when I was watching it, I was like, I don't understand it. This man's wife is one of the most she's striking.
Sekbe.
And it's not that she's just striking for mouth. She's a huge designer, okay? Mm-hmm. She has a huge fashion house. She's beautiful. She's bright. This is his wife. And if you see the girl, I mean, she's okay. I don't know that she's, they said she wants, she's a supermodel. I was like, she doesn't look like a model to me. But she's not bad looking. But I'm like, you have a wife at home who is everything you need to be. You're not a good looking man. I don't know who sees Harvey Weinstein and says, oh yes, let's hang out. Well, I mean, maybe he's bright or whatever. But from the way he was sounding, he didn't even sound intelligent. You know, I'm not a person who goes so much for looks. I like to sit down, and once someone is talking, if I hear their brain, I'm sold, you know? So even when you hear his voice, he doesn't even sound like a bright person. So brain you don't have, looks you don't have, body you don't have. Oh, maybe that's why he feels he has to behave this way. But I don't know why you feel, if he were a single man, I'll say okay. But he has his wife is bloody.
Maybe she's too tight for him.
In what way? The vag or what?
No, maybe can't get him. What do you want me to say? Somewhere in him.
Don't they have kids? He got in somehow. This guy has been this way even before he married her, apparently. He had been this way with other actresses. He even interviewed a few of the actresses and things like that. One of them, what's her name? Arquette. I don't know which one. I think it was Rosanna. She said because she said no to him, she was blacklisted, blackballed. She didn't get jobs for a long time. That this is his way, that he's been doing this for. Then there are other A-list names, though, that he did this thing with. You know? And I'm just like, I started thinking and I thought, why? Like, you have everything. You're a top guy in the movie entertainment industry. You have a wonderful wife. Now, even then, I don't think he needed to do all that because of his stature. There are women who would be willing to just do whatever. And he doesn't have to be a predator to get what he wants from anyone, because there will be those women who are fine, who would want to hang out with him. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So to me, this lady and her husband, that whole setup was for nothing. It's good gist. It was funny to listen to and laugh at. But her husband strikes me as the sort of person, just like this Harvey Weinstein, who will continue that behavior. Just like there are men who will never cheat on their wives, no matter what. You can dangle whatever you want to dangle in front of the man. He's not interested. There are men who will never, okay? This sort of man will always carry. He will go. And that's what we need to figure out. What is it in them that makes them feel like this is what they have to do?
When you find out, bottle it and sell it. People want plenty people will pay, because I mean it's mind-boggling sometimes when you listen and you're like, why are you doing this? Like,
I mean, it's so unnecessary. I'm just like, guy, you don't need it. The reason I'm saying, if you heard the taping, if you heard his voice, you know, he sounded so desperate. He sounded so, no, don't leave me, you know, grand. You know, this is the sort of guy they said he would have a girl come up to his hotel room door. He'll be in a bathrobe. And he'll open the door and the bathrobe will be open so you can see his whole nakedness. And I'm
so
like,
you can see what you're getting.
What you don't want. The unattractive guy. Who wants to even see that nonsense? I'm like, go and sit down. And do you know, it's just, I don't know.
The thing is, it's funny sometimes when you find situations where you find men who are in very, very powerful positions. Remember that one guy? I think was he from France? Like a diplomat or something?
That came here to a hotel with the maid.
Mm-hmm. And I'm like, why are you chasing? I mean, they're so desperate. I'm like, is it that intense?
So what is it? Is it that they feel because of who they are, woman is not supposed to say no to him? Or
I don't know.
What is it exactly?
I don't know. Because sometimes when you watch some of these movies where a guy's literally chasing a girl all around just to get his hands on her, just to have his way with her, I'm like, is it that serious? Can we be civil? Like, It's really that serious, Sha. I don't get it.
It's crazy because you don't have to. You know what I mean? You really don't have to. There are people who you pay to, or is it that he doesn't want to pay? Is that what it is? Because at the end of the day, he's still paying this particular girl.
Yeah, they're all paying. I mean, yeah, they want
this
to
particular girl. At the end of the day, when he found out that she had gone to the police, he first of all sent her some money. She said she doesn't want. He sent her. He said, "Look, are you willing to give up your career, whatever it is, for this whole thing?" Because even after they did the sting or whatever, he is highly connected. Right. They decided not to pursue the case against him. Then he had a lawyer contact the girl and say, "Listen, this is how much we're going to pay you. Collect this money, but you got to sign this. You can't talk about this. Any recording you have with him, you got to give us all of that. We're going to destroy it." And then they're not trusting her to hand it over to him. They basically said, "Give us your phone, your laptop, give us all those things." So they will now go onto it and do a whole search for anything that has any email, anything that has any connection to Weinstein, and delete the whole thing. This is what she had to sign for. And then I don't know how many millions of dollars he paid her or whatever. So I don't get it.
We're never going to get it. That's the bottom line for this one. You can sit down from here till tomorrow with 10 million psychology degrees. I'm sure maybe they'll have a name for it. But in terms of getting it and understanding it,
he has another court case there, and I saw a little picture of him being wheeled in, like he's on a wheelchair or something.
Thank you for joining us.
Leave us a 59-second voice note by clicking on the message button.
Comment, like, share, search for Tea with Mrs. S on the internet.
And if you like what you hear, subscribe by clicking on the support button.